Hey, this is Jake Owen, and this is Good Company.
We in good company.
Welcome to Good Company, yeah. A podcast where we talk about everything under the sun. Friends, good times, and life.
We in good company.
Oh. Now, here's your host, Jake.
What's up, guys? It's Jake, and I am back with yet another Good Company podcast. Last episode, I chatted with my twin brother, J-Rod, Jared, and my best friend, Marty. And this week, it's Brian Yancey Owen is my granddad, and my grandmother is Jean Martin. And I'm just really excited for you guys to hear the story of how they met, because their story is truly, truly the American love story. I mean, it is the dream, the American dream of love. And I laugh saying, you know, this is after their time of meeting, but they are, you know, the American Jack and Diane. You know, you hear those songs and you think about the love that people have had together. And I think my grandmother and grandfather, after you all hear their story, there's plenty of songs out there, I think, that could be written about this love that they share together. So we'll get grandma, old granddad, nanny on the phone, and look forward to you guys hearing from them. All right, y'all, let's get them on there.
Hello.
Hey, granddad.
Well, hello, grandson. How are you?
How was nanny's dentist appointment this morning, granddad?
Well, she's on the phone. She can tell you. Did you hear him, nanny? Well, anyway, she got her teeth clean and everything went well, so she's here.
Did you take her to a nice breakfast afterwards or before?
Yeah.
Well, I was telling, I kind of introed before I called you, kind of the reason I wanted to talk to you, granddad, and I hope you understand, you and nanny both, how much it means to me to get you guys on the phone to share a little bit of your story with those out there that I'm fortunate enough that tune in to listen to me. And I said that I would not be the person I am in my life without the influence that you and nanny have given me throughout the years, from the time I was a child, and would come over there and sit on the back porch with you guys over there in the carport and spit watermelon seeds out on that little side area there and go down there on the lake. And I know that dad would never be the father he was to me if you weren't the mother and father to him that you all were. So it was really important to me to just kind of talk to you guys about a few things and kind of pick your brain on life. And again, I really do appreciate you guys talking to me this morning.
Well, those are very kind words, and the blessing has been ours, and we are grateful to you for having us.
Well, I appreciate that, Granddad, and I guess probably the best way for me to start out with you guys is we were sitting around the table at Thanksgiving when I really thought how cool of an idea this might be to chat with you, when I asked you there at Thanksgiving about the real story about how you and Nanny met. And you kind of told us about the story you started off with, how you went to college, and thought that would be neat if you didn't mind sharing that with those out there. Kind of these days, it seems when someone wants to go to college, they're, you know where you're going, and you get your grades all together, and then the family is taking trips to visit the colleges, and you had a bit of a different story.
Well, it is certainly different from today's society. I know in this culture, the students have to start planning ahead when they're in high school, but it was certainly different in 1940. And when I graduated from high school, there was no prior preparation to going to college. If you wanted to go, you just showed up, and there you were. And my story was kind of simple. I grew up on a farm, of course, and tobacco patch working, and my father came over and said, "Did you ever decide whether you want to go to college or not?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I'd like to go." He said, "Well, Mr. So-and-so is here, and he's going back to Lexington, which was the home of the university, and if you want to go, you can go in and get your clothes ready and go." So I went in, old mom got my little few clothes ready. I rode up to Lexington, and that's how I started to college.
That's when you became a wildcat, huh?
That's when I became a wildcat, yeah.
and Nanny. Nanny loves those Kentucky Wildcats too.
I'm the Wildcat.
There you are, Nanny. I love you. Thanks for talking to us this morning. You have no idea how much this means to me. I've been so excited.
We love you, darling, and we're always glad to talk to you. So this is a pleasure to us to be able to do this.
Oh, thanks, Nanny. So Granddad, so you went off to college, you went up to Lexington, and what was your, did you pick a major when you got there?
Oh, no. No, I had no idea really what
I You were just happy to be there.
Yeah, just happy to be there, but of course, being a farm boy, I had not been exposed to many professions and so forth, so I enrolled in the College of Agriculture, and that was home to me, but I had to work my way through. My dad was a farmer with modest means, and my sister, 2 years older than I, was also in college. She'd received a modest scholarship up at Kentucky Wesleyan, and if I wanted to go, I had to work, and which was not uncommon in those days. I worked 4 hours a day in a cafeteria for my two meals, and was happy to have the chance. So anyway, it worked out well. I had great college years and became part of a fraternity, Alpha Gamma Rho, of which I became the president, and created a lot of lifelong bonds there.
Wow. I didn't know that. I just learned that for the first time. I didn't know you were the president of the fraternity, Grant. Is that where you get that?
They recognized my needs, I think. And they let me be the house manager prior to that, but on my last year, they elected me president. I was grateful for that. That was just prior to going into the Army.
Wow. So had you gone into the Army before you took the trip home with your buddy from Lexington to Mumfordville?
No, that was I was still in school then.
Okay.
I didn't go into the Army until 43.
All right. Well, I thought what was so great the other day in your story was, and it really put things in perspective for me, especially with today's world, was you said, you know, in those days in college when you guys wanted to go home, it wasn't anything back in those days, right, to just put a thumb in the air and hitchhike back home.
Well, that's correct. We weren't burdened with the prevalence of drugs and alcoholism and all those things that are so prevalent today, you know. And it was perfectly safe, and people would be glad to pick us up and ride. And hitchhiking was a very popular method among kids with no car and no money.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know if I can honestly say, Granddad, I've never hitchhiked in my life before, but.
Well, it's not too safe now. I wouldn't recommend it now.
Yeah. So you hitchhiked home with your buddy, and you guys were heading back towards, were you going back to Hopkinsville, or did he happen to be from Mumfordville?
Lexington.
I'd been back, and we were on our way back to Lexington, and this was 1940, and I was a freshman at that time. And one of our rides stopped in this small town, let us out, a town of about 1,000 people, and the highway was the main street through the town. And while we were waiting on the curb for another ride in front of a nice residence, two good-looking high school-aged brunettes came walking down the sidewalk. We attempted to be a little friendly, but they ignored us and went into the home. And suddenly I had an enterprising thought, and with my camera, I took a picture of the house. When we got back to school, I was looking at this little picture of the house, and I said to my roommate, "We can meet those girls." And so I took the little picture, glued it on the address side of a penny postcard. Under that picture, I wrote Main Street and the name of the town, Mumfordville, Kentucky. On the back side of the card, I told them we had just passed through town and had seen these two lovely brunettes. And I told them that I was a college student, rich and good-looking probably.
Obviously, obviously.
Neither which was true. But I said, seeing these lovely brunettes, we'd like to meet you if you would answer the letter of the card. Nothing happened for a couple of weeks, and then one day I got a letter indicating they had received the card and that their high school choir was coming to Lexington to participate in a choir ensemble, a glee club or something. And perhaps we could rendezvous at a certain time and a certain day, and we could pick out, my roommate and I could pick out the two brunettes that we had seen, because they were, apparently there were several girls' friends that visited the house, one of whom lived in the home. But on the day designated for meeting, I had to work, and I could not go, and I didn't thought anything further about it. But on the following week, I received this apologetic letter saying that they had not been there either. One of the girls had gotten ill, and they had to leave early, and they apologized and said, if you would like to pursue this further, and they gave me two names, one Jean Martin and one Martha Mansfield. My roommate and I flipped a coin, and I got Jean Martin.
Lucky you.
Yeah. It was providential, I'll tell you.
Right.
So when school was out and we went home, I stopped by to see her, and that was my first meeting. And I was so impressed with her that I made a date 2 weeks later to go see her for my first date. And that's how I met your grandmother.
That is so unbelievable. What an awesome story that is. And so that first meeting, did Nanny think the same of you, Granddad?
No, I don't think it was mutual. I think it was a little more impressed than she was. There's a quick sequel to that story on what I told you now, but in anticipation of that first date, I bought a new pair of slacks.
This is great.
They were green flannel and light, kind of pea green. Beautiful, I thought. And in those days, we did not have steam irons. We didn't at my house anyway. And they used just a regular old flat iron heated on the top of a stove. And they would use a moist or wet cloth between the iron and the fabric to provide the steam. My sister was going to press my new slacks for me. And unfortunately, regrettably, the cloth she used had been a feed sack. And on this feed sack was a big red pig. And the red pig transferred beautifully to my new green slacks.
That is great.
And except for my mother's intervention, it would probably have been a murder, but through some diligence, my mother got the pig off, so I got to wear my new slacks to my first date with your grandmother.
That is great. Did he look good, Nanny?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't really pay that much attention to the green pants. I was looking him over. So
that is.
I thought he was pretty cute. The first day that he came by, he came up the walk, and he had a really fast step coming up, and the mother asked him if they'd like some iced tea or lemonade or something, and your grandfather sat in a swing, and he was so nervous that the drink was sort of slushing around, but he was. We enjoyed them stopping by.
I wasn't nervous, Jake. That was part of my cool act.
That's right. That is so, I mean, I love hearing you guys talk about that, because as you said earlier, Granddad, you know, the times have changed a lot. So that was in 1941. And y'all, yeah. And so that's when you met on drinking that, sloshing that tea around, Granddad, and you were sitting there on the front steps of Nanny's house. So how many years now have you guys been married?
Well, first of all, I was in college 3 more years, and then I was in the Army for 4, so that's 7 years before we married. And when God has blessed us with almost 70 years, and we've been blessed with not only with a good marriage but a great family, all of whom we are proud and blessed.
Yes, sir. That's exactly kind of what I was getting around to is I you guys have definitely been blessed, but I personally, if not to sound selfish here, but I think, to speaking on my behalf and all of us as your grandchildren and your sons and daughters, we all feel so blessed, Granddad and Annie, to have you in our lives. And I've always told my friends that they can't fathom really still having, their grandparents around like you all, and how I tell them how healthy y'all are. I mean, and how smart you guys are. And to this day, how I get letters from you, Nanny and Granddad, just, telling me to keep my prayers up and keep God in mind for all the blessings He's given me. And I think, there's so many folks out there that go through so much tough stuff these days on a day-to-day basis. And I've always felt like, I think your faith, the two of you all together, and what you've instilled in us as a family has really kept us all, blessed. And I truly know that that's stemmed from the foundation that you've set for us and our family and kept church in our lives. And I just hope you know how much I appreciate that.
Well, that's kind of you to say that, Jake, and there is absolutely no substitute for that faith. And to honor God and to analyze our lives and to admit our inherent sinfulness and ask God for forgiveness and then live obediently, that is the peace that God gives us.
Yes, sir. And it interests me to hear you say that because— as your grandson, both you and Nanny, both, I've always looked up to you all as people that are perfect, people that are the perfect example of who I should focus my life in trying to be and trying to maintain. And it's interesting for me to hear you, say to accept your flaws and accept the things to be a better human being. You said it more eloquently than I just did, but it's funny for me to hear you say that because it tends to sound as if you acknowledge as well that you're not a perfect person. You're not the perfect person, part of that I've viewed you as, but through faith and God, you're constantly working on that.
Well, we're far from being perfect, but we are forgiven. Mom, you going to say?
Yes, I was going to say, Jake, that I know that it was the Lord's will that we get back together because I had not seen him all the time that he was in the service. In fact, I was dating someone else that I had thought at the time I would marry them, but Brian came through Munfordville with his grandparents, and he went out to see my mother. And he asked her, said, "Where's Jean now? Where's she live?" And she said, "Well, she's right here in town." Said, "She's working." So she called me on the phone and said, "I've got a surprise for you. Somebody wants to see you." So I looked. They came up to where I worked, and he came in, and I knew the minute he walked in the door after all those years, I just felt like that was who I was supposed to marry. And
I told you I was rich and good-looking.
But anyway, it is. It's something that I knew at the time that it was going to happen, and we've been happy, and we just think our grandparents are the most wonderful grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and our wonderful four children. And we're so thankful for each and every one of you and what have you meant to us in our life. You are our lives, and we just thank the Lord every day for you.
Wow.
And pray that you will always know that the Lord's your Savior, and He's taking care of you.
Well,
and Jake, we're proud of you, and we're proud of all of you. You've all been a blessing to us, and we couldn't ask for more than that.
Well, thank you so much, Nanny. I'm proud to be your grandson, and I'm so thankful you guys took the time today to chat with me like this. I think if there was one thing before I got out of here, I've always wanted, if you had a piece of advice, either one of you, to give to anyone out there that's listening, as far as, you know, keeping the family together and how y'all's marriage, you've been married for almost 70 years. And as you know, I mean, you know, no marriage is perfect. There's the ups and the downs, and there's the highs and the lows. But what, coming from someone that's been married for 70 years, I would think that you might have a pretty good piece of advice for anyone else out there that wonders sometimes.
Well, my advice to anyone is just to honor the sovereign God and to be humble before Him and before mankind, and remember that we're here to serve, and that's from where the blessings come.
You're right.
I think that put the Lord at the center of your life, and also, I'm not a woman libber. I believe that a husband has the authority and the right to be the head of the household, and I've always believed that, and honor my husband, and I'm thankful that we've had all these years together. And as you say, there have been ups and downs, but we've worked through them, and we've been happy, and we've taken a lot of trips, and
yep,
with you kids and grandkids, and that's been a blessing too. So,
well, I'm sure that some of that good cooking that you make, Nanny, doesn't hurt either for keeping Granddad around. You know, all that good homemade ice cream and all those pies and stuff. That probably keeps Granddad around pretty good too.
That's right. Those are pleasant memories. Still enjoying some of them too.
Yeah, well, I can't cook like I used to. I don't have the energy to do it, but we still enjoy good food.
Well,
Southern food.
Thank you again, Jake, for taking your time with us. We're blessed by the conversation.
Yes, sir. I love you guys so much, and this means the world to me. And I know my friends and fans out there that tune in to hear me talk about things that mean a lot to me. This means more than you guys even could ever know, and I know it means a lot to them as well. So thank you so much. I love you guys, and hopefully I'll be down there and see you for Christmas.
Thank you, Jake.
Love you, Jake.
All right, love you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Go Wildcats.
You're right.
Yeah. God bless you.
See you, Nanny. See you, Granddad. Love y'all. Bye-bye.
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 Wow, that was, you know, in all the years that I've known my grandmother and grandfather, I've never had the opportunity just one-on-one like that to sit there and chat with them and hear them out. And I mean, we could have sat there for hours, you know. I think, as you can tell, I've always loved that about my granddad. And even when I called to check on him, after about a minute and a half or 2 minutes, granddad says, "All right, well, let me get Nanny on the phone." And, you know, granddad's had a little too much time on the phone. He likes to get it off. So for him to give us 20 minutes of his time on the phone with Nanny together, I mean, that means so much to me. And to hear them talk and to hear them talk about their faith and their love of the family, and just, I loved hearing Nanny chime in with how she met Granddad and how he had that pep in his step. And those are things that, as I'm sharing them with you, I'm learning for the first time too today. And so what an awesome second way to come back with the Good Company podcast. I don't think there's any better company than my grandmother and grandfather. So I've got lots of cool ideas coming your way over the coming weeks and months and start of the new year. So I'm really excited to share some more good company with you all. Thanks for tuning in with me, and I look forward to catching you guys next time right here with Good Company with Jake Owen, and I'll see you soon. We'll play you.